Now, we know, we have established the fact that we have to do offerings in order.
Then
we know that we have to do offerings and preliminary practices like that in order to collect merit. In order to collect merit. We know that we are collecting merit in order to build up our store of merit in order to become a fully enlightened being. That is the motivation. That is the motivation. Alright? So, the things that we use, the things that we use for offerings should be completely pure, should be completely clean, and again, not ill-gotten. It should be faultless. In this case, faultless means it has been acquired by virtuous and honest means. So if we go shoplifting for a jug, oh, it's for the Dharma, I'm Robin Hood. It doesn't work that way. No Robin Hood in Buddhism, sorry. So, the items that we use should be specifically bought for the Buddhas. As beautiful, as expensive, as ornate as possible, according to our financial means. Someone who is not high in a financial bracket and buys a simple plastic jug for $3, well, I don't know, from Giant, all right, will be the same as someone who goes to China and buys a 5,000-year-old, a 2,000-year-old, 3,000-year-old Ming beautiful porcelain vase and offers that with sincerity. It will be the same. But a rich person or a person in a higher financial bracket going to Giant and buying a simple little plastic thing will not collect the merits. You're having empty bowls? Yeah. Yeah. Do you have empty bowls? Yeah. Oh, there, inside. So, one should definitely offer the best that one can. Yeah, this is okay. One should definitely offer the one best can. So it should be from clay going upwards. Clay. Next one can be, now in this case we have steel, okay. Then brass. And then copper, and then this is going in ascending order, silver and gold. All right. So the most affordable for most of us is probably brass or silver. Even when we get brass or silver, we should try to attain silver. The best bowls would be silver. Yeah. So the bowls. Make it as big as possible and make it as beautiful as possible and according to your altar. But if you have a big place and you're lazy and you just have a small altar, therefore you buy a small bowl, again, that's not very sincere. Try to make your altar big and luxurious and wonderful as possible and get many bowls. Don't think one set of bowls is enough. Try to have more. Try to have bigger ones, as many as you can, in whether sets of 7 or 8, as I described earlier. Then the bowls should be kept very clean. Very, very well. And you can put them in silver dip, brass dip, or whatever, brasso, or whatever, and clean them well. Isn't it? So, then, you should have a cleaning, I'm just using this as an example. You don't have to all go and get this one. Have a nice cleaning cloth. Make sure the cleaning cloth is not used to wipe your sweat, blow your nose, clean the floor, you know, things like that. It should be used only for the Dharma. It should be only used for the deities. Of course, you can wash it and dry it out, but dry it out separately. You shouldn't wash even the cloth you wipe the altar with your underwears and socks and things like that, underclothes, you know. I mean, that's very practical, isn't it? So this should even be washed separately by hand. And then for once, get your glorious, beautiful, fashionable nails a little wet and even chipped for the sake of Dharma, no problem, all right? So, and then the husbands do not say, oh, I've had a long day, the wife does it. If the wife does it, you won't get the merit. If the wife eats, you won't be full. So don't make the wife do it on the pretense and excuse that you've been working all day. You want to get enlightenment? You work for it. She cannot do all the stuff and you get the merits and she sits in the corner stupid. That's not going to work that way. You do it. You act toward it. All right? And for the modern woman, you don't make your husband do it. Right? So, and I think most of us are modern women here. Well, not me, but most of the women here. So this, you have a separate cloth, nice and clean. All right? You can go to Jaya Jasko, which I visit every week. And buy one of these nice cloths in the kitchen department, towel department. Oh, what a beautiful towel department. And keep it separate and well. One for cleaning the altar. Again, when you clean the altar, then you clean the cloth. That's not nice. Things you wipe the table with and you wipe the pots and pans should be separate. Have separate cloths. Have separate bowls. And the bowls and items of object of offering should never be left open and empty like that in front of the altar. It is very inauspicious. If you leave it empty in front of the altar, it is a sign of a collecting impoverishment or poverty in the future. It should always be down. And if possible, if you have a separate cabinet, keep it in a separate cabinet when it is not in use. So it should be completely separate, right? And one should make the best offerings one can. For example, these are silver bowls that was given to me by a friend, and I make offerings for him every single day. This is a silver bowl. A set of this is about 600 ringgits at the Bodhi bookstore. You shouldn't think, oh, it's so expensive, blah, blah, blah. How much have we spent on ourselves, you know, in our lives? How much do we spend? When we go to a five-star, when we spend 200-300 just on a meal, two meals at a five-star can get a bowl that can make offerings to the Buddha. And don't get the teeniest ones, the smallest ones, because you make an excuse to have a small one. Get the big ones, the fabulous ones. If you can get big, huge ones, fabulous. The more you do toward the Buddha, the more merit you get. It's not that the Buddha say, oh, potluck, let's everybody go, big bowl of water. It's not like that, you know. The Buddhas are not going to run because you have bigger bowls. It is for your merits, right? Or it's not going to be a small bowl and the Buddhas go, oh, yo, only one. All right, Kwan, you go down. I had it yesterday. It's not going to be like that either. But the better you can do, the bigger you can do, will be more merits for you. It'll be more beneficial for you. So one should keep the bowls well, to the best of one's ability. So in fact, if you can even get silver bowls and get them gold-plated. If you can, get solid gold. If you cannot, get them gold-plated. Better to get it gold-plated on silver than brass, because it's like tricking the Buddhas. Oh, it's gold, wonderful, look. And then when you rub it, it's brass. At least, if it's gold here and you scratch it, you can still say the Buddha, well, it's silver. Better than brass. So what's the use of making brass, because of gold-plated brass, and trick the Buddha and say, that's like a trick, you know? It's better to get silver and put gold plating and put on, and at least when the Buddha scratches it, you go, silver. Not too bad, huh? Because you're offering double good things, silver and gold. You are offering double good things. Of course, if you cannot afford it, you should not beat up your wife and take the money from next month's account so that you can make golden bowls. Rinpoche said so. Of course, you don't have to do that either. Of course, you don't have to starve the next month and come back looking like, I was going to say Karen Comforter, but that's not very nice, is it? You don't have to look like an anorexic in your next month because you have bought silver bowls. You do what you can. You do what you can. But be honest with yourself by doing the best you can. This is for your enlightenment. This is toward your spiritual aspirations. This is toward making merits, supporting your meditations to get enlightenment. This is not a game. And then, you know, you go there, you compare bowls as if you're comparing, you know, a Tupperware party, you know. Even if you can't afford the best, what you can afford, and you go and see the best, rejoice for the person. The best way to collect merit is to rejoice. They can do all the work, you rejoice, you get the same merits. I'm very sneaky. Wherever people do things and do that and do this and do that, they offer hundreds of thousands. I don't have it. I just sit there and rejoice. And I get all the merits. The Buddha says you can get all the merits. Definitely. So what I do is I'm very sneaky. I rejoice. I make everybody else buy their bowls, make their statues, and pay for this and make their altars, and they spend all the money, do all the work. I just sit there and rejoice. Very easy and simple, huh? They think I'm a bodhisattva, but wrong. I'm getting a lot of merit. I rejoice in all people's good activities. Rejoice. So when people are making beautiful altars, they're doing wonderful practice, they're buying silver bowls, I can't afford these kind of things. Definitely I cannot afford like that, like other people, and big, beautiful statues. But never mind. I'm not disappointed. I really feel happy that they're doing it, and I rejoice. Therefore, I will collect the merits. I don't rejoice to get merits, but it comes as a side benefit. So one can rejoice. So therefore, one should get the best. And it doesn't have to be Tibetan-shaped bowls, of course. But Tibetan-shaped bowls are shaped especially for making offerings. It is not something cultural or anything. It is shaped especially for making offerings. So they're very nice, and the shape is very good. And when you put it together, it's very balanced. So it is special for that. So if you can get this kind of shape, it's very nice, very convenient, and it's very easy to balance. It's not that you absolutely have to have it. You can have any shape you want. Best of your abilities. Then when it's not in use, keep it down, never keep it up. The items you use together with it should be separate. And the bowls, once you have used for the Buddha, you should never use yourself or for guests. You should never, once you have used some place or whatever, it should always be used for the Buddhas. So, oh, here for that. That's not very respectful. So everything should be completely separate. All right? Then the offerings that you have done, the offerings that you have finished, can be used again as a blessing. So if you have offered rice, and you have offered water, or you have offered fruits and flowers, afterwards you can take it down and use it. But don't sit there all day meditating on the food you're going to eat in the evening because it's blessed. Again, that doesn't work, right? So you should offer it from your heart without even thinking about it that I can eat it at night. You shouldn't think like that, all right? So, all things you can use again. Even jewelry that you have used should not be taken back and used again by yourself. If it becomes very full, you can sell it off and give it off to charity and help charity with that because it's already been offered up to the Buddhas. If you offer it up and then take an offer back to yourself, back to Buddha, you're just an Indian giver. So that's not very good, is it? Then, when you place the bowls, it's very important never to keep anything empty. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You take a little bit of the water, put it in, put a little bit in, like so, and then you pour it from one to the other. So you pour the majority of the water into the next one, and just keep a small drop in this one, just a small drop to represent that it's not empty. And while you're doing that, you shouldn't be singing to Michael Jackson and McDonald's or Perry Como or something like that for the older generation, or Judy Garland. You should actually think about the three jewels and recite Om Ah Hum, Om Ah Hum, Om Ah Hum to bless the water by the power of the body, speech, and mind of the Buddhas. If you're doing tantric practice, you should visualize yourself as your tantric deity and then recite that mantra Om Ah Hum and think virtuous thoughts. Then Om Ah Hum. Then pour the majority of the water into the next one, and then you just have one or two drops left. Om Ah Hum. And the space in between should be the size of a grain of rice long ways. Alright? So don't say, oh, what kind of rice? Basmati rice? Long grain rice? But just make your imagination that it's one piece of rice. Don't get complicated. Rice. Alright? Rice. Om Ah Hum, Om Ah Hum. Because I've gotten these questions. You get a hand and go, yeah? What type of rice, Rinpoche? And I go, no. Those are small, uncomplicated things. We shouldn't make complications, isn't it? Om Ah Hum, Om Ah Hum, Om Ah Hum. Then we make it one rice space in between. And you don't have to get a rice to measure. Just approximately, you know? Just approximately. Don't get so complicated like that. Yeah. Om Ah Hum. Om Ah Hum, 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 Om Ah Hum. Om Ah Hum, 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 Om Ah Hum. I'm putting 7 because it's not going to fit. Then you take the jug and you make sure you're standing up and with respect, with two hands clean, you make offerings and fill it up. Om Ah Hum, Om Ah Hum, Om Ah Hum. And the amount that you put in should be one grain of rice from the rim. All right? Again, a big fat piece of rice, okay? From the rim. If it's too low, it's very inauspicious. It shows that your practice is going to fizzle out. All right? If it's too much, it shows that your practice is not going to gain its end. Definitely, it's inauspicious. So you fill it up like that to the eighth bowl. When you pour it, it should be left to right. When you pour it, it should be left to right. When you actually take the offerings off, it should be right to left. So you can make these offerings as many times as you want. You can offer it, do the prayers, wait a few minutes, wait a few, 1 hour, half hour, clean it, and re-offer it. When I was in India, I usually do, I have 250 bowls. So I offer 250 bowls in the morning, do my prayers and meditation, and then clean the bowls off and offer another 250, and then clean it off and offer another 250. So in fact, every day I'm doing 750 bowls. I usually do every day in India. Here, of course, I don't have enough bowls, time, and the malls are a very big distraction for me, very big. In fact, I'm going to the mall tomorrow. So in any case, you try to do as many as possible. The more you do, the better for you. So I was a great meditator before I came to Malaysia. Now I'm just a fat, pot-belly cheesecake lover. In any case, you try to do as many as possible. In 8, 16s, 8 times 3, 24s, or 7, 14, 21, 28, 35, etc. in increments of 7 or 8, all right? If you're doing the water ones, maybe better just to do 7. But if you do 8, no problem. 7 or 8, let's not make complications. But not 9. No, I'm just kidding. Any, all right? Then you pour it down like that, and you make sure it's full. After you have poured it out, then... Oh, yeah. you light the incense? And the incense should not be light with your ciggy buzz. That's not very respectful. Alright? It should be light, clean, and well. Remember, total respect. Total respect. And then, after you have offered it, then you bless it with smoke. Fire purified. With two hands by reciting Om Ahu, Om Ahu, Om Ahu, Om Ahu. Don't get complicated, because if it falls in, you got to change it. More complications. Just do quickly. Om Ahu, Om Ahu, Om Ahu, Om Ahu. Then?
Yeah.
Then, there's a prayer that should be in... Can I see this book? You have the blessing of the offering. The red one and... Yeah. In this book, which you can purchase from Losan Chakwa for 100 cheap ringgits a copy. No, I'm just kidding. 16. But you can offer more since it's Dharma Center. All right? So in here, you will have... you will have the actual prayers to bless the offerings. There's a way of blessing it. If you want to stop here, it's okay. But if you want to further make it more beautiful and make it more powerful, you can also bless it. And I think I saw it in this book. Then it should be here, right? And also the Vajrasattva we did, there's a Vajrasattva here. The one I gave you yesterday is shorter, but the people of this center, if they want to do this Vajrasattva, it's fine, no problem. You can do a longer or shorter, it's up to you. Vajrasattva is Vajrasattva. Hold on a second. Yeah, it's here. Page 11. On the Pearl of Wisdom. Book number 1, the blue one. Actually, these books are very good to have. They have basic prayers and meditations. It's very, very good to have. Everyone should try to attain a one copy of each. Then, it says here, page 11. 10 and 11, isn't it? It starts on page 9 at the bottom for offering prayer. All right? So after you make the offerings, whatever, 21, 14, try to do more. You recite, may offering substances, human and divine, those actual and those which are emanated, unsurpassed Samantabhadra's clouds of offerings filling the entire space. The Bodhisattva Samantabhadra, Kundan Zangbo, is one of the greatest beings who have done offerings. His offerings are beyond whatever you can imagine. He constantly makes offerings, lots of offerings to the Buddhas all the time. So when we say Samantabhadra's clouds of offerings, it represents to be like his offerings, to aspire to the way he makes offerings. Then after that, you recite the offering Dharani, which blesses the offerings up to the Buddhas. And you recite it like so, offering Dharani to increase the offerings, which will increase it to a great, great power and capacity. Om Namo Bhagavate Benze Sarva Parma Dana Tata Kataya Arhate Samaya Sam Buddhaya Teyata Om Benze Benze Maha Benze Maha Tesa Benze Maha Vidya Benze Maha Bodhicitta Benze Mahabodhi mendo pasam krama na benze sarva karma awara na vishutane benze soha. So once will be enough. If you want to make sure, 3 times will be very good too. Alright? Then after that you recite, by the power of the truth of the 3 jewels, the power of the inspiration of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, the power of the great might of the completed 2 collections, and the power of the intrinsically pure and inconceivable sphere of reality, may these offerings become suchness, pure, excellent, and undefiled suchness. I'll recite this 3 times for you. Please listen carefully. Even when you recite it, it's a little wrong. No problem. Om Namo Bhagavate Benza Sarva Parma Tana Tata Kataya Arhate Samaya Sam Buddhaya Teyata Om Benza Benza Maha Benza Maha Titya Benza Maha Vidya Benza Maha Bodhicitta Benza Maha Bodhi Mendo Pasam Krama Na Benze Sarva Karma Awarana Vishutane Benze Soha. Actually, it should be Benza, but it's written Benze. But I think big difference. Om Namo Bhagavate Benze Sarva Parma Dana Tata Kataya Arhate Samaya Sam Buddhaya Teyata Om Benze Benze Maha Benze Maha Tezya Benze Maha Vidya Benze Maha Bodhi Chita Benze Maha Bodhi Mendo Pasam Krama Na Benze Sarva Karma Awarana Vishutane Benze Soha. Then the power of truth in Tibetan, under that, Kunjo Sungi Denba Dang Sanje Sanje dan janju senba, sanje gi jinji, labdang, soni yonzo zobe, ngadang chenbo dan, chuji yin, chu gi yin, nambar dashin, sangi mingyabe, tokge, deshin nidu gyur chik. Then better in English, has more meaning for you. Then your offerings are done like so. Then you make 3 prostrations. Then you sit down to do your prayers and meditations or whatnot. So those are the ways to make offerings. And in the evening, when you actually clean, you can clean off the offerings right after. You can clean off the offerings after noon. You can clean it when you come back from work in the evening. Even if you're a little late, you can clean it tomorrow morning, no problem. The point is, try to put your attention toward it. And don't procrastinate cleaning because you're lazy. And in fact, if you're with your husband or wife, maybe one day the husband can offer it and the wife cleans it. And then the next day the wife offers it and the husband cleans it. That'll be very, very nice. One should not have one's maid, one's friends do the offerings because one is lazy to do it. Because one will not collect any merit if we have someone else do it. It'll be very, very powerful. And don't just have 7 cups. Try to have more as much as possible, better and beautiful and beautifully set. The water should not be gotten from dirty places. It should not be gotten from the bathroom. It should be gotten from the kitchen sink or someplace clean. That'll be very good. And these things and these items, if you want to wash it, should not be washed in bathrooms and dirty places. It should be washed with respect separately and at your kitchen sinks, all right? And you can wash these things. Of course you can wash them and maintain them. Why not? And if they should be damaged and cracked, you can replace them. No bad luck, no problems. You won't be punished because you broke a cup or you damaged the cup or got chipped. Who's going to punish you? And in the evening, when you actually clean it off, then you take it from right to left. When you offer it, left to right. So you pour it back in one by one. And then you take the water and dump it in clean places, down the sink, not the bathroom or toilet. Or on your plants, on your flowers. You can even use it for cooking. You can use it for, don't wash your body with it. Don't put it in the toilet bowl, save water, conserve. No, you use it for cooking and things like that. Or you can put it on your plants, or you can give it to your animals, it'll be a blessing. It is blessed. It is definitely blessed because it has been offered to the Buddhas. Then, you clean it well, you wipe it well, and then you keep it down on your altar. Keep it down or keep it under. Either way, out of the sight. And keep it nicely. Then the second type of offerings is the sensory offerings. 3 of the body and 5 of the 5 sensory offerings. And that will be like here, where you can use, very simply here, the first two is water. The first two is water. People in the back, if you cannot see, you can stand up. The first two will be water. The third one would be flour. The fourth one would be incense. The fifth one would be light. The sixth one, perfume. The seventh one, food. The eighth one, sound. Those are the sensory offerings. If you can, to have one or two sets of sensory and one or two sets of water. So the first one represents drinking water for the Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas. Not that they need drinking water, but to offer that to them. The second one would be water to wash their feet. Because in ancient India, when your masters, when your gurus and your teachers come out of deep respect, the minute before they enter your house at their doorstep, you take water out and you would ritually and with faith wash their feet and then dry it and anoint it and then touch your head to it and then escort them into your house and put them in the highest seat of honor and then offer them food or whatnot. So this second water offering is washing of the feet. So I don't think in Malaysia you go wash people's feet, but in any case, it's a sign of respect. So washing the feet, all right? The third one would be offering beautiful sight, flowers. So here, you can have a cup of water with beautiful flowers, one flower, two flowers, three flowers, any flower that you want, like so. Or you can buy beautiful flowers. If you don't have, if you're not in a position to obtain fresh flowers every day for any reason, you can buy one beautiful artificial flower and leave it there and make sure it's clean. And you can change it every few months, every few weeks, every whatever you like. Or you can buy jade flowers. You can buy glass flowers. You can buy lotus crystals, whatever, put there as a flower symbolization. But don't do it because you're lazy to get new flowers if you can. You should do it because it's a beautiful offering. Then the next one should be the offering of incense. And Malaysia has very beautiful and wonderful incense. You have the round ones. You can buy a stack and put it up like that. And inside, if you can, to buy semi-precious stones, like here, or the colored ones, mendeka, or the colored ones like that, or like that. And if you're Rockefeller and you're super rich, you can even fill it with diamonds, rubies, emeralds. Up to you. If you're not, you can buy semi-precious and think that they're diamonds, rubies, and emeralds, and they will become. Or if you can't even afford this, it doesn't matter. Don't be disheartened. You can put rice, which is very good, because when you offer rice, it's a sign that you're praying for the poverty in the world to end. You can offer that, no problem. So whatever you can do from your heart, and make sure that the offerings are beautiful. When you switch this, how often you switch this is up to you, and anytime you can take it out and clean it and wash it and put it back, make sure it's dry. The rice if you offer, or grains if you offer, fine, that's fine. Make sure that offering is full and not small, up to the rim. And then the rice you can use at the end of the day to cook with, to eat with, that is fine, no problem. And you can use a round incense, stack it up, or you can use like this one for the incense here. And yes, if you stack up a big incense, you can leave it there for a few days, few weeks, whatever, or switch it. If you just use this to, at the end of the day, burn it, use it, and the next day put new ones. So anything here, this would represent smell, offering the smell. The next one would be a pork light, all right? So you can have a bowl there and put it in the bowl, or you can have a candle in it. Make it practical. It doesn't burn the bottom here, damage. It could be a lotus candle. But if you're away a lot and you're not home and it's unprotected, although the Buddhas are wonderful and excellent, we don't know about one's karma, right? So we can have a wonderful doctor, a wonderful hospital. It doesn't mean whoever enters will come out healed according to the karma. Like that, if it is dangerous, then one should maybe put electric lights. Electric light there all day. That is fine, no problems. Or one can just put a candle there to symbolize the light and leave it there till one gets home and lights it and watches it carefully. No problem. And if one has lit it and one has and 2-3 hours you have to go out, you can respectfully put it out. Ask the Buddhas with respect to put it out. Then you put it out. Don't blow it because your breath is dirty. Don't. Well, it's not birthday, you know. Happy birthday, Buddha. You just go like that and put it out, right? You put it out nicely with respect. Because when you put it out without respect, it's like saying, come Buddha, enjoy the light, and then go away and put it out. No, they're not kids for you to order back and forth, you know. They're not your boyfriends to point your fingers here and there and do this and do that and do that. They're Buddhas. Show them respect. So you can use lamps, you can use oil, you can use wicks, you can use candles, whatever you like, how much you like. It doesn't have to be just in that sequence, as much as you like. And you can even, the Tibetan style, we do it like that. We buy these. We call it chukung. It's a butter lamp. What happens is, you can order that from silver. I think the Bodhi bookstore at the Petaling Street can do that also. You can order this from pure silver, which is very virtuous. People in Tibet, the more fortunate ones, higher bracket, whatever they get success, they usually order silver ones, whatever size, and make beautiful offerings, and they put a wick in the center and put oil and burn that. Up to you. You can even order a silver one or one like this. This is, I think, white metal, and put a candle inside. Whatever you like to make it pure and beautiful. Yeah. Then it should be in that sequence also. Water for the drink, water for drinking. The next one is water for washing the feet. Next one is flower. As I explained, any type of flower. The next one is incense. The next one is light. Yantu Pishta is Gendi. Next one is perfume. So in Tibet, perfume is not easily gotten. What they do is they fill it up with water and visualize it as perfume. I've gone one step further. I have actually bought perfume